If the Founding Fathers knew today that we're allowing biological men who relate as female to freely use the ladies' room and locker room, I think they'd be rolling over in their graves. There's a new resource out from Family Research Council that explains the whole transgender issue from a biblical perspective. One of the co-authors of this resource is David Clawson, FRC's director of the Center for Biblical Worldview. The name of the book and video series is Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. David, it's good to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me back on, Jerry. Always good to be with you.
Sure. Okay, what is the genesis of this big push for the transgender issue?
A lot of people, I think, have heard of the sexual revolution. I think it's more apt, really, Jerry, to call it a moral revolution. And we need to realize this moral revolution has been going on for some time. But I think it's true, and I think cultural commentators have noted this, really since, I would say, 2015, 2016, that kind of puts us around the Obergefell decision when the Supreme Court imposed same-sex marriage on all 50 states. In 2016, you have Bruce Jenner, you know, coming out as Caitlyn Jenner. It really seems that the moral revolution has taken on a velocity that has really taken a lot of people off guard, because now here we are, 2023, and you can't really go a day without some story in the news related to someone wanting to change their gender or someone wanting to compete on the girls' soccer team, even though they're a biological boy. So the moral change taking place in our country, it's a profound change, and it's happening very, very quickly. And one reason for that, Jerry, is I think our society is increasingly post-Christian. Christianity no longer has the influence that once did. And I would argue that other ideologies have really become ascendant. And the more you push Christianity out of the public square, that vacuum is going to be filled by something else. And what it's going to be filled with is an unbiblical ideology, an unbiblical worldview. And I think that's exactly what you've seen happen in recent days.
What does the Bible teach about gender and sexuality, and what does science teach about gender and sexuality? And feel free to wax eloquent.
Yeah, well, sure, Jerry. What's really neat as Christians is that the Bible and science go hand in hand. We know at the level of genetics, at the level of chromosomes, anatomy, biology, that there are two genders. You have XX and XY. That is what the very best science tells us. And what's incredible is that in Genesis 1, the Bible says the same thing, that God created male and female in his own image. So really the basis of this thing that we call sexuality, the basis of that is the sexual attractions and desires and urges that God gives to men and women for the opposite sex. Term sex and gender really are referring to the same thing, which are these characteristics of the way God has built our bodies. And the context for our sexuality to be expressed is a relationship we know as marriage between one man and one woman. And you know what's interesting, Jerry, is every society and every culture throughout time has known this. Even cultures like ancient Greek and ancient Rome that were fine with the homosexuality being practiced, but even they would say that marriage between one man and one woman, because they knew that that was the solid basis for society and for culture, for thriving societies. And it's just amazing to see how our modern age has gotten so far from that. And so that was what we wanted to talk about in our book, my colleagues and I, in Male and Female, He Created Them, was just to really paint a picture of what the Bible says about all these issues that, again, are in the news almost every day. And we believe as Christians, God's Word has clear answers on these questions.
All right. Go ahead and explain why there's this big push for transgenderism. We see it impacting the realm of sports. We see teenage kids getting surgeries, taking puberty blockers. This seems as if long-term damage is being done to supposedly solve a problem which, at most, is a temporary one.
Well, I agree with you, Jerry, 100%. And the push behind this, again, it's only in the last couple of years that you've seen this massive push at really all levels of society for transgenderism to be accepted as an ideology, this ideology that says that your gender identity, how you perceive your gender, can be something that's different than your biological sex. And so the question you ask is a very good one. You know, why? And I think there's multiple levels here. I think that the gender ideologues have been very successful. Really on the heels of same-sex marriage being approved, this, you know, was the very next step in LGBT, the T, referring to transgenderism. And they've really been successful in making this a civil rights issue, is what they would want you to think. And I think, you know, the far left has become very persuasive in painting you as a bigot if you don't fall in line. And so that's why you even have companies like Bud Light, of all companies, hiring transgender spokespeople now, because no one wants to be seen on the, quote, wrong side of history. And that's what's interesting about moral change, Jerry. There comes a point, almost a tipping point, where everyone seems to feels the need to get on the train, so to speak, or else they'll be seen as not just outdated, but as bigoted and as narrow-minded and as subversive. And so one thing I have to say about those who are driving this engine of cultural change, they've been successful in couching this in the language of things like the civil rights. And I would argue, obviously, that things like gender identity and sexual orientation are ideologies that are destructive to human rights and human dignity, rather than affirming it, as these ideologues would want us to believe.
Can you comment on puberty blockers and then also surgeries that are being performed, in some cases even on minors?
Well, that's legislation that's being talked about right now. And over the last 2 years, Arkansas was the first state actually to ban so-called sex change hormones or puberty blockers or even these irreversible surgeries. There are other states, though, Jerry, such as Minnesota, that is trying to liberalize their laws that would allow minor children to be subjected to puberty blockers and cross-sex hormone and gender surgeries that would chop up very healthy body parts. And so this is actually happening. And this is all under the banner of so-called gender affirming care, is what they want you to. I read a CNN article the other day that explained the so-called gender affirming care is needed health care for minors who are suffering from gender dysphoria. But let's be clear. And we've always known this in society. If our mind tells us one thing that we know is out of step with reality, that is out of step with our body, we need to address the issue that's in our mind, not try to get our bodies to fall in line with these ideologies we have in our minds. But again, that's exactly where the moral revolution is taking us, where irreversible surgeries are now being performed on minor children. I was on a panel just a couple weeks ago with Chloe Cole, and she was lied to, and she ended up getting a double mastectomy and other things done to her body that she deeply regrets. And so, Jerry, we really do need to, again, I don't think anyone should be getting these surgeries or cross-sex hormones, but at the very least, we should be able to protect minor children. And those are the battles that are happening in state houses all across this country.
Okay, David, why don't you go ahead and walk through the main content of male and female he created them?
Yeah, absolutely, Jerry. We are just so thrilled, my co-authors, Denny Burke, Colin Smothers, and I, about this resource. It just came out. It's really an 8-week curriculum. And again, it's not a book in the sense that you would read it from cover to cover. You could read it from cover to cover, and I think you'd have benefit from it. But it's designed to be used as a curriculum, kind of as a small group study, or for a dad to get a couple copies for his family and use this for family devotionals. But we put this in, there's questions in here. There's actually accompanying videos. Folks like Al Mohler and Rosaria Butterfield and other well-known scholars have contributed videos. And by the way, you can find these videos for free at hecreatedthem.org. They're meant to go along with the book, but you can actually access the videos for free if you'd like at the site, again, hecreatedthem.org. But this is an 8-week study where we just try to walk through all of these issues, Jerry, that you and I are just now beginning to hit on. Such as what is marriage, God's design for sexuality. And then we talk about, I think it's in chapter 3, we talk about departures from God's design. I was the main author on chapter 3, where I talked about the Bible's moral appraisal of homosexual behavior. In week 4, we talk about the understanding of sexual temptation and desire and orientation. Transgenderism gets an entire week where we walk through what are the claims of these gender ideologues and what are they driving towards. We have a whole week on intersex. This is, you know, a part of this whole panoply of issues that's rarely discussed. But when people are born with genitalia that is maybe damaged or you can't figure out what it is. So like these are basically sexual disorder developments.
Just real fast, I understand that that is a very, very rare scenario, correct?
Very, very rare, absolutely. And but it is used by different people on the left, on the cultural left, to say, oh, look, the fact that intersex conditions exist, this must mean that the binary of male and female, we can defeat it. And so we argue, no, that's not the case, that we live in a fallen world where things go wrong. And we just explain what intersex is and how do we think about that issue and how do we minister to people that might suffer from issues related to sexual development. Week 7 and week 8, we just talk about how to minister in this context, how to think about our identity. You know, when someone says that they're gay or they're lesbian, how do we respond to that? And one final thing I'll add, Jerry, is, you know, just real practical questions like, do you go to a gay wedding or should you use someone's preferred pronouns? All of these are real practical questions that we try to provide a little bit of guidance for. And so, again, the way to think about this is not necessarily like a textbook or anything like this, but this is a study that, again, a dad could do with his family or a Sunday school teacher could do with their class or even a Christian school that wanted to do kind of a deep dive on some of these issues in a Bible class or something. We think these are all context where this book would be useful and helpful.
Okay, now I know this is very controversial, but recently we saw the situation where there was that transgender lady, Audrey Hale, that shot up and killed a bunch of people at a school that she apparently had gone to, and here she was from a Christian background, but she rejected that and instead went to the dark side of everything, but did so in the, you know, because of the whole transgender thing. And then the left turns around and says, oh yeah, well, she did it because she didn't have the love and acceptance that she should have gotten, and that's, you know, it was kind of their fault. It's just, it's so, we need your resource to kind of cut through all this kind of confusion.
And that's the hope, because you're right. You know, people look at situations like that and say, well, maybe the answer is we shouldn't talk about these issues or something like that. Well, you know, Jerry, the Bible actually doesn't give us that option. You know, there are a lot of issues that we might debate in culture that maybe the Bible doesn't have a clear word on. But there are some issues where there's a chapter and a verse. There's a clear, thus saith the Lord. And on issues related to marriage and gender and sexuality, God has a clear opinion, and it's been revealed to us in his word. And as Christians, our highest commitment is to Scripture. And we know 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is breathed out by God. And if it's breathed out by God, that means it's true. And so, again, that's the fundamental commitment that we, my colleagues and I, when we wrote this book, we believe that all of Scripture is true and it can be believed. And it is God's roadmap for human flourishing. And so we need to know. Now, we need to be gracious. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says we speak the truth in love. And so we're gracious and kind with those that we disagree with. And my goodness, these are very sensitive conversations. These are complex issues. But we can't back down from declaring the whole counsel of God's word if we're going to still be considered someone who's being faithful.
Okay, David Clawson from Family Research Council, HeCreatedThem.org, for more information. Thank you, David. All the best.
God bless. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, great. Bye-bye now.